Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Love is strange. Lot of people take it for a game.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much. Hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Having a great visit with our good friend Ellen Rohr, great member of our Brain Trust, the author of Where Did the Money Go? And Bare Bones Biz Plan. And Ellen is helping us with this family business thing. And in the previous segment, we talked about the importance of a business plan. Ellen, thank you for that great advice. That's so smart. Folks, I'm going to say it one more time. If you don't do anything else with that business plan, build a cash flow spreadsheet, you will be amazed. And if you don't know how, get some help. Get somebody to help you with it. But you will be amazed at how your life will get better in your business and your family life if you are tracking your cash on a 12-month and a monthly basis. Ellen, what else do we need to talk about?
Well, one thing to decide, particularly in a family business, we were talking about this at the break, is, you know, who's if you're going to work in the family, who's in charge and what are they responsible for? I suggest you put together an organizational chart. Now, this can be really tough. You work with your wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of businesses,
we don't have any confusion about that.
Who's in charge?
No. There's no confusion about that.
Who's in charge?
Who do you think?
Don't be silly. Don't be silly.
Yeah.
Well, see, it does bring up a lot of stuff. And what you can do is, a good leader doesn't lord their authority, but somebody has to be the one to set the vision of the company and make the final call. And I believe only one person can do that. And if you're in a family business or a 50-50 partnership right now, that might make your stomach hurt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you address that now before it's an issue, I promise you it will be an issue at some point. If there are family members on the org chart, you know, if you've got kids in there, their expectations should be the same as everyone
exactly.
else. You know, some say you got to work harder. Well, as a child, you might choose to, but it should be the
should
same.
You should work harder. But what do you do when those kids are not pulling their weight? They're getting paid, but they're not pulling their weight, or they're little brats or whatever. What do you do about things like that? How do you advise people when you walk in on something like that?
As a consultant, I will ask the question, what does it take to get fired around here? You know, this person is not in uniform today. And, you know, sometimes they invite me back, sometimes they don't. But I'm going to ask these questions because, you know, as you've mentioned, it's such a morale buster when the rest of your team...
When a family member doesn't pull their weight, when they get some kind of preference or when they create issues, it's the morale. I mean, I've seen it. I used to do what you're doing right now, Ellen, working with small business owners, and it's just absolutely toxic what those situations can do to the morale of a company.
And, you know, as you said, the likelihood that family business will expand and succeed is very nil because... Only the family members will remain if it's that crazy. Everybody else is going to leave at some point.
Over time,
you do need an org chart.
Over time, that kind of a scenario is very, very likely to take the company down. That one thing, just the preferential treatment for people who aren't pulling their weight.
And it says something. I mean, if anybody at your company, now this could be a family member, someone who's just like family, if anyone is allowed to lose over time, I think you have a moral responsibility to change that situation because people can win. And if you put the right person in the right spot and you expect good behavior and hold them to it, people can win. It just might not be a good fit at your company. So it's okay to say, you know what, son, it's not working out. So I'm going to let you go, and good luck to you. And
have known people who have fired their children, and I'll tell you, it was tough, but they did it, and they got lots of respect from their employees. The morale went up, and the kid went off and did fine.
And in time, the family
came back together.
I've been fired before. Being fired isn't the worst thing.
That's right. I was fired twice, and both times I went back and thanked both of them for firing.
You know, it works like that. I read a quote in a magazine on the airplane as I was going out here that this fellow said he doesn't trust anybody who hasn't been fired at least once.
Right.
You know, are you just good. Not? So being fired can be a wake-up call. It can be, you know, someone pushed out of the nest so that they can fly on their own.
Speaking of that nest thing, what do you think about, what's your advice to people when they say, all right, I got a kid that's coming out of college or high school. He grew up in the business, but you know, should I let him come right in back in here and take a position, or should I make him or her go get a job somewhere else before they come back to the business? What do you think?
Well, I think that a business plan would help, and that person would have to apply for a job in the organization, and I suggest that they would work their way up. I do know a lot of business owners who say, you have to have some experience to apply for this, mm-hmm. this company with another company first, and they find it a really great experience. So, you know, if you've got a friend or you know, leave them be. Just say, you know, see what you can do. If mm-hmm. the experience of auditioning for a job and getting it is such a great mm-hmm. A confidence builder. Mm-hmm. So just to have that in your pocket as you move back to the family business is going to allow you to know you don't have to work there and they don't have to hire me. I could always do something else. I think that's a really good idea.
Well, I think there are many, many levels on why that's a good idea. The morale mm-hmm. of the other people, the person, as you said, the child himself or herself, but also they if they decide not to stay in the business, they know what other things look like. I mean, I've known people who went right into the business out of school, and they felt like 20 years later, they felt like they were held hostage by the company.
Oh, yeah, and there's this idea, well, I have to work on that. My, mm-hmm. my dad's counting money. I call this enslaving the children. If your dad yeah. wants you to come into the family business, I look at the financials. Is there any money, or are you going to be?
Dad, I don't think you can. You measure up to my standards.
Well, you know, a lot of times the dad and I use.
Ellen, I'm sorry. I need to get your website one more time, quickly.
Okay, you know, check out weekend or barebonesbiz.com. BareBones.
All right. Thank you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.